Hello, I'm the Doctor. Join me for TARDIS Jukebox, Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. here on WMFO in Medford.
And a pleasant good morning to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Welcome to the Shukri Wright Show, special edition, right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO and Medford Touch Reform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this program part of your Thursday morning. And it is another beautiful day here in Greater Boston, as we are now officially in mid-October. It's buzzing season. And when I say that it's buzzing season, I mean it is the season for where Boston sports is absolutely ablaze right now. I mean, what more can you possibly ask for? If you are a Red Sox fan, a Bruins fan, a Patriots fan, and even as well as a Celtics fan, what more can you possibly ask for? All four teams, according to Adam Pellerin of Nesson last night, if this ALCS between the Red Sox and the Astros, which begins tomorrow, if it in fact goes seven games, you will have all four local teams in action all at once. I mean, how amazing is that? If that's not amazing, then I don't know what is. I mean, there's so much going on right now in sports that if you're just waking up this morning, I mean, there's so much that you could nitpick as to, oh my, where do I pick? Where do I start? I want to make that choice for all of you this morning. For those of you listening live, you can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I'm here with you live until 12 noon Eastern time. Appreciate all of you who are able to tune in this morning. I want to start with a topic that I started going on an absolute rant about yesterday, and this is Kyrie Irving, because last night it was brought to my attention while I was watching hockey, because last night it was really all about hockey, and the first, I would say, somewhat of a full night of hockey games. There was five games last night on the NHL template. Bruins still haven't started their season, and they won't start the season until Saturday, which pisses me off. Anyway, it was brought to my attention last night that Kyrie Irving did an Instagram Live, and I needed to see exactly what happened, what went on. And Kyrie Irving made the choice and announced that he had made the choice to remain unvaccinated. Fine. Okay, your choice. I'm not going to sit here and tell a grown man what to do. I'm not. I'm going to start off by saying that. But what I will say is this. I saw Stephen A's video not long after on Twitter. And I began to really think about not so much as to what he was going to say, but in the midst of me watching, I began to wonder, I know that I'm going to talk about it on this morning's program, so what am I going to say to this? Because if you listen to yesterday's program, and I apologize to the listeners, I did not upload yesterday's program onto iHeartRadio as of yet, but I will do so at the conclusion of this program. So please forgive me. I'm sorry. My mistake. But I went on to a clip that I played piece by piece by piece yesterday during yesterday's show, talking about Kyrie's situation, or should I say self-created situation, in which that he went into great length about why this is by far. Stephen A. explained why this is by far in the nearly 25 years of covering the NBA, of this being the dumbest story that he's had to cover, paraphrasing what he said. And I topped it all up and went into this whole Twitter rant, not Twitter rant, but radio rant yesterday, talking about my feelings about the whole thing. But now, after having the opportunity to go on Instagram and check out what he was talking about, I came away with this one conclusion. And this one conclusion is, this is not about the greater good. This is about you. And for those of you who have the good the privilege of knowing me personally, know that I don't do selfishness, especially from professional athletes that are making millions and millions of dollars. I don't deal with that very well, like at all. If anything else, my biggest takeaway from what Kyrie Irving is doing, in addition to what he said last night, is that he is taking a stand, supposedly, and that now, suddenly, in the eyes of a certain segment of people on Twitter, he is a hero. He's standing up for what he feels. He's an icon. Hooah! He is a martyr. He is a hero to the American people. I couldn't believe some of the things that I was seeing on Twitter this morning. I'm so serious. One of the things that I saw on Twitter that really got me mad, and I'm so glad that I have the platform that I have, and that is, please stop criticizing Kyrie Irving and basically comparing Kyrie's stance, and I'm using air quotes, stand, as some sort of comparison to what Muhammad Ali did. First and foremost, you uneducated nimwits, Kyrie Irving doesn't deserve to be mentioned in the same breath, let alone be in the same room as Muhammad Ali. So cut the crap while you're ahead, please. Thank you. That's number one. Number two. But Kyrie's taking a stand for what he believes in. Yeah. He's taking a stance for what he feels. But guess what Muhammad Ali did? For all of you young folks who are listening and need some sort of a history refresher, here's one for you right now. Muhammad Ali, beginning in 1967, was banned, stripped of his heavyweight boxing title because he refused to go fight in Vietnam against a group of people who he refused to fight against, who hadn't done anything wrong to him. And meanwhile, in his own words, he's not even a free man in his own country. Free from the systematic oppression. Free from the racism and the Jim Crow laws and the bigotry. And yet you're asking him to go fight in another country? That was the stand that Muhammad Ali took. Kyrie Irving is not taking a stand. He's taking a stand on his stupidity, and quite frankly, it's beginning to cost the Brooklyn Nets organization quite dearly. It is. And the way that I see it is that when you begin to look at just how deep this has gotten, you have to be thinking to yourself, what kind of mess did the Brooklyn Nets find themselves or get themselves into by bringing this man in? If you have thoughts, call in 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Because I'm genuinely at a loss of words. In regards to this whole situation with Kyrie Irving, it's not like he didn't know that this was the rules. This is the mandate by the Brooklyn Nets, by the city of New York. This wasn't new. He's saying, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to get vaccinated. Okay, fine. You won't play. He's not a martyr. What exactly did he sacrifice? I like for someone to tell me, what exactly did Kyrie sacrifice in this situation? Millions of dollars? Oh, I'm sorry. He already has well over $100+ million in his pockets. He didn't sacrifice much of anything. If anything else, what he did was proof to me that his self-interest comes ahead and before the team that he plays for. And I mentioned this yesterday, and it's worth mentioning again. And I said that Kyrie Irving, in my opinion, he couldn't be more wrong. He couldn't be more selfish, because this is the same man that recruited KD to Brooklyn, recruited James Harden to sign with the Brooklyn Nets after being acquired and so forth. Yet somehow he's saying, well, I'm not going to go ahead and get vaccinated. It's my choice. And I'll just sit out. Okay, fine. But the Brooklyn Nets do find themselves in quite a sticky situation. But what makes this particularly worse is this. Whatever your opinion is on the vaccine, that's your choice. I personally don't have a care for it. But heaven forbid you are carrying the virus and you get someone sick who may not have the immune system to survive it. That's the problem that I have. Kyrie could be carrying it unknowingly, being asymptomatic, and then pass that on to someone else who may not have the immune system to be able to fight it off. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend to be a medical expert. But taking the science out of this, wouldn't you think that's a little selfish, dangerous? I don't know. You're working with, 14 other players and teammates, and then, oh, by the way, you still got the coaching staff, and then, oh, by the way, you still have other members of the trainers and the members of the Brooklyn Nets organization to worry about, right? But no, to hell with them. It's about me. Me. My body, my rights. Okay. Stay away from the team. Stay far away from it. But the bigger issue that I really have is this. Is that a lot of people on Twitter this morning, and I saw it and I couldn't believe the sheer stupidity in all of this. You're putting him up there with Muhammad Ali? Hey, you idiot. You realize that Muhammad Ali advocated for vaccines, right? YouTube it. There's a beautiful thing called YouTube. It's there. It is all there. In fact, I saw one of the clips this morning advocating for people to get vaccinated. So miss me with the whole idea of, well, Ali would applaud Kyrie for taking a stand. No. We're not going to drag a legend into the same dark room that Kyrie Irving sits in. Let misery enjoy his own company. May Muhammad Ali, may the Almighty have mercy on his soul. May he rest in peace. But don't dare compare Kyrie Irving's stance to what Muhammad Ali did in the 1960s when African Americans were fighting for the right to be seen as equals. There's no room for comparison here. Like, what are we comparing this to? Like, what are we doing? The point is this. And people have repeatedly shown me on social media that they don't understand the difference between a government mandate and private business entities enforcing a mandate. There's a difference. The United States government isn't saying you must be vaccinated. This is not the United States government. We're talking about the Brooklyn Nets making a mandate. And oh, by the way, he happens to be in a city that's enforcing the mandate at MSG and as well as Barclays Center. For sure, that's a very strange hill to die on. Be my guest. But understand that no one is going to feel sorry for Kyrie Irving in this situation. I mean, that's just the honest truth in all of this. Coming up next, it is going to be quite a sports day ahead. In fact, the next 24 hours is going to be quite eventful. I want to tell you exactly why. Coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Call into the program, 855-915-9636. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio.
Peace of me. pass you by. Hope the winds of change will change your mind. I could give a thousand reasons why, and I know you, and you've got to make it on your own. But we don't have to grow up, we can stay forever young. Living on my sofa, drinking rum and cola underneath the rising sun. I could give a thousand reasons why, but you're going, and you know that. All you have to do is stay a minute, just take your time. The clock is ticking, so stay. All you have to do is wait a second.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Thank you for tuning into the program today. For all of my listeners that are out there, you can call in at 855-855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We are going to continue with the program in just a moment. But first, time for the PSA brought to you by the people here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I just looked at my wrist, I got time today. Get them crossing the line today. These b****s will cry and be lying in your face. Slicker than us, gotta know how they play. If the money went straight, she wouldn't be here today. Ain't in my ain't sure, know what to say. You ain't me, so it's hard to relate. But how much cash I pop every day?
Got him! Swing and a miss! Hey! Struck him out swinging!
Hunt you, it cost you a Quavo to boot.
And he sends a shockwave through the ballpark, and they're going crazy here in Atlanta.
The Atlanta Braves are heading to the National League Championship Series.
Boy, they did it to me. What? Disposing their hands for free. Get caught in the middle of this bullseye.
Get it too.
You got hit, but we were targeting heat. Popping my with a capital P.
Caps.
SRT, red eye, red key. Might be ugly, but my preference.
Bad.
She ain't even sneeze, but still I bless.
I true.
I don't like nobody.
Nobody.
We can get gangster, we can keep it cordial. How you
doing?
It will be a one game season between the Dodgers and Giants.
Yeah, one game, nine innings, if not more, to determine who will face the Atlanta Braves for the National League Championship Series and the National League pennant. I mean, if that doesn't get you fired up, then I don't know what will. We still, after all, still have one more day until the Red Sox begin their October push for the World Series in the ALCS against the Houston Astros. And this morning, if you're a baseball fan, I think it's fair to admit that you are absolutely fired up for Game 5 of the National League Division Series between the Los Angeles Dodgers, the defending world champions, and the San Francisco Giants. But I don't think we've seen anything like this before, where one team that won 107 games and another team that won 106 games, one of these teams' seasons is going to come to an end tonight. And that's really the biggest travesty of it all. I mean, think about this. And this is the part that I find to be amazing. Both teams have won a grand total of 109 games combined. The first to 110 will move on to the NLCS. I mean, what more can you possibly ask for? I don't think there's really much that you can ask for, especially when you talk about someone who absolutely thrives and loves the situation. In fact, you look at tonight's starting pitchers, and I know I'm talking Giants, Dodgers, but this is baseball. This is the postseason. I mean, how could you possibly not be excited for this? The matchup is outstanding. You got Julio Urias against Logan Webb. Like, are you kidding me? Logan Webb, who went 11-3 with a 3.03 earned run average, he's getting the ball tonight for the Giants. While for the defending world champions, you got Julio Urias, who won 20 games during a regular season with a 2.96 earned run average. Born in Mexico, he dominated in game two. He allowed that one run over five innings. I mean, goodness. This is everything that you could possibly want. And what more can you ask for? Especially if you are a baseball fan, especially when you understand that this is something that we had never seen before. A winner take all in a division series. And for years, we've always wondered what would it be like? Well, here you have it. This series has not disappointed at all. In fact, this clip I'm about to play, this is courtesy of TBS. This is what Julio Urias did in his last start against the Giants in Game 2. So this is courtesy of TBS. Brian Anderson on the call.
Julio Urias.
Well, see those numbers in his last 17 starts as he got stronger and stronger as the season went on.
There was a couple of games in there between the Giants and the Dodgers. They met 19 times. That's a called strike three. Got a little off the edge from Angel Hernandez. And Urias starts his night with a strikeout. 0-2. And Posey, he goes. Urias strikes him out to end the inning. Couple of K's for Urias. Strands a runner at second base. 2-2 with two outs. Giants have scored in the second. And Gausman strikes out. That'll retire the side for Urias. He gives up a run, though. And he struck him out. Has four Ks thus far. And make it five. A spinner. Almost not fair. Two up and two down. And five in a row now for Urias.
That's what Julio Urias did in his last start. Yeah, he only went five innings, but he struck out five. But my biggest takeaway is this. If Urias can go more than five innings tonight, if he can give the team six innings, if not more, and he only gives up one run, the Dodgers got a fighting chance in this game. In a series that, by and large part, has given you a little bit of everything. Drama, pitching, timely hitting, you name it. This series up until this point has not disappointed whatsoever. I mean, what more could you possibly ask for? But if you are a San Francisco Giants fan, I think it's okay to admit that this morning that you are a little nervous. You're fired up, but you're nervous. It's okay to admit that. Be honest with yourself. Giants-Dodgers, this series, and then just the rivalry itself, it's the West Coast version of Yankees-Red Sox. Both teams have faced each other 23 times. They don't like each other. And one game is going to determine the ultimate legacy of the 2021 Giants or the 2021 Dodgers. You win 107 games. You win 106 games, respectively, for the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Giants. One of the two teams is going home. And Logan Webb is going to be taxed with the responsibility of bringing the Giants to the National League Championship Series. This is what Logan Webb did in his last start against the Dodgers. Take it away, TBS.
And there is Logan Webb, like his old manager, postseason game number one. Right?
Yes, and you're going to see a lot of sinkers, a lot of sliders and changeups.
And up the middle, hits Webb's foot. He recovers and throws him out to end the inning. Kick save, and we're underway.
14 consecutive starts this summer, he went, allowing two runs or less.
And a spinner. Oh, it's a called strike three. A little hesitation on the call. Will Smith had something to say on his way out. Got it. Shut down inning. Three up, three down for Webb. Matching up in this best of five. A swing and a miss. Webb strikes out Pollock. 2-2 now. And he got him. Called strike three. Webb's racking up the K's here. He looked a little indecisive whether to go to the glove and the tag or the bare hand. A swing and a miss. Struck him out. Got one on the board early. Back up the middle. Broken bat. LaStella flips it. Crawford gloves it. Throw it first. spectacular double play. Oh, man. 4-6-3, as good as you can do it. And Beatty on the ground. Flores lays out from his knees, out at second. No play at first. Boy, the Giants are airtight defensively despite two errors. 1-2 the count. And Pollock is swinging a miss. He struck him out. Logan Webb back to the changeup. And a swing and a miss. Struck out Mueller with a slider. Ready for a 1-2. And a swing and a miss. He struck him out. Logan Webb. The change of pace on point. 1-2 and a swing and a miss. He struck him out. Webb rises again, that time with a slider. 9 strikeouts. Here comes Webb and a swing and a miss. He struck him out. 2-2. Right off the end of the bat. Tough play this time. Webb makes the play. Went with a bare hand again. Right back to the mound. Little tapper. Webb calmly makes the play. 2 outs. And those boos will turn to cheers quickly as Logan Webb exits stage right. A call to the bullpen. And a spectacular performance by Logan Webb in his first postseason outing.
That was Logan Webb, who struck out 10 in his last start against the Dodgers. Listen, this is going to be a great pitching matchup. And if you're a person that loves great pitching, this is it. This is the game. This is the game to watch. This is the series probably of the entire postseason. I know we still have the World Series that's ahead, but if we're going to be honest, this might be the best postseason series of the postseason so far. It might be the best postseason series of the entire postseason. But it is going to be absolutely so fascinating to see how things shake up, because I am absolutely, and I do mean absolutely, believe that it is going to come down to timely hitting in this game, because pitching is going to be everything, no question. But I just do think that if you are the San Francisco Giants, you got to jump on Julio Urias early, because once he gets going, good luck. You're not scoring. You're not getting runners past second base. But if you're the Giants, you need Logan Webb to go deep into the game to preserve the bullpen. He went 7 2/3, Logan Webb, that is, in his last start. I think he could do it again, but I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be a 2-1 or a 3-2 outcome. Advantage Dodgers on the road. It is going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. In fact, here's what MLB Network had to say as it pertains to Game 5 of the NLDS Giants-Dodgers. This is courtesy of MLB Network.
Tomorrow in San Francisco between the Dodgers and Giants, that we're all set to be watching a great one. It's been a good series. It's been a pitching and defense series with the exception of the rout yesterday. Look, I want to ask you right up front, how do you handicap this tomorrow night?
Oh, my God. John? I mean, I thought the Dodgers were going to be the World Series team all along, but you got to give the Giants credit. They're really the team of the year to have stayed in front. Basically, the Dodgers got it by half game early in September. Other than that, the Giants, every time they're threatened, they just keep coming back at you. They've got the pitcher they want. They're number one starter and Webb in this game. So, I mean, to me, it's a pick 'em. And, I mean, look at the Dodgers. Won 106 games. They were knocked out 2 years ago, winning 106 games by the Nats. It's been a tough gauntlet. At first, they played the hottest team in the Cardinals. Then they've played the team with the most wins in the Giants. It's not an easy road, but whoever wins this game, to me, is the World Series favorite. I'm not saying anything you guys don't know already, but I think that's fair.
Game 4 in this series, Dan, Anthony DeSclafani was not as sharp as he'd been through the regular season. The Dodgers, ironically, the only team that really was able to cuff him around during the regular season, and that continued in the postseason. They've got their ace tomorrow for Game 5.
Yeah, to me, how I handicap this one, if the Dodgers chase at the same amount against Webb in his first start, they chased 31.3% during the year. They chased at a 23.5%. They're not going to win this game, not in that ballpark. They're going to have to get Webb in the strike zone. And they, Matty, for me, they can't get too big against him. Conversely, I feel like the Dodgers have their best big game pitcher pitching in this game. And I feel really comfortable. Urias has now earned the right that he really slows things down, and he showed that last year in the World Series. This is going to be a tremendous matchup. Whichever team forces the other pitcher into the strike zone and doesn't try to do too much, for me, is the team that's going to win.
That's really saying something, that you think Urias is their best big game weapon, because that's a staff, as we know, with Scherzer and Kershaw and Buehler, that's filled with such players. And speaking of Walker Buehler, let's bring John Smoltz in on this part of the conversation. Smoltzy, Buehler was great yesterday. I don't know why he doesn't get the recognition he deserves as an ace. Maybe it's because there's so many other aces on that staff, but he was terrific in game four.
Yeah, he basically, until Scherzer got there, he was their ace. He would have been their big game pitcher and may still be. He's got four quality pitches. He can separate both part of the plate. He's got pitches that go away from lefties, into lefties, and I just think he's learned through the years that he doesn't have to throw 99, but that his command and his ability to miss bats is as good as anybody's. That's why the Dodgers have such a great chance. Not only had a chance to defend, when the season started, I thought they had the best pitching staff in all of baseball, and of course some injuries and things have led to change that. So I agree with Dan. Urias has been one of my favorite pitchers to watch. It doesn't seem like he's fazed about anything, and he's the guy that is the right guy on the mound for this situation with the Dodgers up against the elimination games that they have been playing now as defending champs. So this is going to be a classic, and I could just tip my hat to what San Francisco has done. One of these teams are going to lose, and one of these teams are going to be a big reason why we're going to have some rule changes moving forward in the playoffs, I firmly believe.
So the expectation for this game five tomorrow in San Francisco, John, is low scoring and close, given the quality of the starting pitching matchup. Is there anything that would lead you to believe we could see a wrinkle in that narrative? Is there anything that you could see happening that would say one-sided or even high scoring?
Yeah, you know, these are dangerous games for managers, and I think that the tendency is to pull your guy way too soon, even when he's dealing, just because you have leverage guys available. And that's usually what happens in games like this. When you bring in more people, you bring in more chances for that person to not have his best stuff. In a perfect world, if your pitcher's dealing, then this game's going to be a low-scoring game. But if they don't stick with them because of the pressure that's on the managers in a game, winner take all, that's when you start bringing in opportunities for someone to not have their best stuff. And we know that you have to face three hitters, and in three hitters, the game can get away from you, or there could be a big inning. So I'm always intrigued with which manager has the most patience to stay with what their eyes are seeing and not what the paper says. Because the paper sounds good when you're pre-planning. The eyes tell you more when the game's actually going on.
A possible path to the unexpected in game five between the Dodgers and Giants tomorrow night, just after 9 o'clock Eastern on TBS.
That game is tonight on TBS. And as you heard in the clip, basically it's going to come down to pitching, which is why a few moments ago before I played the clip, I said that this game could very well be a 2-1 decision or a 3-2 decision. I don't expect a whole lot of offense, but I do believe that it's going to come down to situational hitting, because the pitching on both sides is going to be outstanding in this game. But man, if you're a baseball fan, this is absolutely thrilling. I can't wait. I cannot wait to see what happens and what's going to be coming next out of this game. Coming up next, I have one reason why the Patriots game this weekend is going to be a must-win game for the Patriots. I want to tell you exactly my thoughts on that coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO.
Like we're looking for the same thing, yeah, yeah. Do we really gotta do this now? Ride it with all your friends around. In the morning we can work it out, work it out.
I love you so much that I hate you. Right now it's so hard to blame you. Cause you're so damn beautiful, so damn beautiful.
Is it easier to stay? Is it easier to go?
Every time that you say you're gonna leave, that's when you get the very best of me. You know we need it like the air we breathe, air we breathe, yeah.
I love you so much that I hate you. Right now it's so hard to blame you. Cause you're so damn beautiful. So damn beautiful.
Is it easier to stay?
Part of all.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO and Medford Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. We are rapidly approaching hour number two of the program as we've had an action-packed first hour of the show. We talked about Kyrie Irving's situation with the Brooklyn Nets. We talked about, during the last segment, we talked Game 5 of the National League Division Series tonight between the Dodgers and the Giants in San Francisco. So we are continuing this train that started at 10 a.m. I'm pumped. I don't know about you, but I am pumped. You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We are going to be here live with you until 12 noon Eastern. And in the meanwhile, one of the things that I do want to touch on during this program is the Patriots. Because if there is something to be said about the New England Patriots, that is, this is a team that is very hard to figure out exactly who and what they are. Through the first five games of the regular season, their identity is not exactly clear. It's not. You know, Bill Parcells used to say the old saying, you are exactly what your record indicates that you are. In the case of the 2021 New England Patriots, does that really apply? I don't know. Because even in some of the games that they lost, they did play a pretty good game. Except a couple of really big mistakes had cost them very dearly. That's something that the Patriots are going to have to work out those kinks. Case in point, the loss to the 1-4 Miami Dolphins in week one. I was at that game. The fumbles by Stevenson, and late in the game on that final drive, the last offensive drive for the New England Patriots by Damian Harris. That killed the Patriots in that game. Also, and I do mean also, you look at the Tampa Bay game against the Buccaneers. They held Tom Brady to without a touchdown pass. But key mistakes that were made in that game, most notably that decision to kick the field goal after failing to convert on a 3rd-and-3. That in itself, I still believe that was a mistake. They should have, in fact, gone for it, given that Mac Jones was driving the ball and driving that offense down the field. So that's two losses right there for you that I mentioned right off the bat that could have been wins. That's the good news. The bad news is, in that third loss against the New Orleans Saints, they got the ball shoved down their throat and the game was not even close. I mean, if my memory serves me correctly, the New Orleans Saints did exactly what they wanted to do. Jameis Winston played like he was capable of playing in a competent offense and system in New Orleans. Alvin Kamara was, well, Alvin Kamara. But with all of that being said, and I just broke down, in short, in summation, three losses for the